For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome into another edition of the JMU Sports News Podcast. I am Bennett Conlin, joined by Jack Fitzpatrick. And we have a busy, busy slate today. Our topic is the non-existent JMU Sports calendar for the next few months.
Yeah, but you know what this time of year is the best for?
Betting online.
That was a fantastic segue. I actually had a point to make, and then I was going to dive into it, but I like where your head's at. It's the time of year where we can just speculate randomly nonsense about whatever we want, specifically football, and how they're going to win out, win the national championship, and just be fantastic. And where you can bet that is Bet Online, because our partners at Bet Online can continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments for the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball fights, and NFL futures, and college football futures, like James Madison winning the national championship. Bet Online is your continued source for all sports wagering needs, including live betting and the fan favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up and use promo code BELIEVE. That is promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. And I guess we need to start our rampant speculation here early on in this one. Is the culture of James Madison University football falling apart at its seams? Diamante Tucker-Dorsey and Wesley McCormick have transferred out. So has Kobe White after just getting here maybe 3 minutes ago. He's transferred out. Is Kurt Cignetti ruining the program? You tell me.
People are asking. People are wondering.
And it's all in our DMs. It's not in any of the Twitter mentions. They're just DMing us.
And I think when you wonder this, the one thing you have to throw out the transfers he's brought in.
Yeah.
Take that out and look at the fact that one good player, one injury plagued player, one guy who wasn't going to play have all left the program, and it leads me to believe what's going on.
You don't think Kobe White was going to play?
No, that's what Shane Metlin and others were kind of saying, that like looked like he was probably not going to be a factor depth chart wise.
Really?
So,
Kurt Cignetti was so high on him.
I really like Wesley McCormick. I think he's a good player, but I also wonder when they brought in those two really young, talented transfers. They brought in a Michigan State transfer. They brought in a North Carolina State defensive back transfer. They've got some pretty good guys in the secondary, and they have a lot of guys at safety who are good. I wonder if you shift any of them down to either linebacker or move them over to corner. So I feel less concerned now.
Yeah, 100%. Wesley McCormick was a solid guy, but he was kind of cornerback number two there for a few years, thrust into cornerback one last year, struggled with hamstring issues on and off throughout the year. When he was on the field, he was solid, but at the same time, I'm not too freaked out about any of these transfers, because this is not a waste of a year. But it's a wash. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Cignetti's going to keep his job no matter what the record is. Like, for a lot of these players, especially Tucker-Dorsey, who seems to have interest from a lot of Power 5 schools, which, no offense to Tucker-Dorsey, kind of surprising. He seems like an undersized linebacker, good, you know, sideline to sideline speed. But whenever I was watching a football game, never completely jumped off the screen to me. But getting a lot of Power 5 interest, so a potential to make that jump, you know, refine his game a little bit more, and good for him if he can get reps at a Power 5 level and, you know, make that jump, then he can be a real NFL threat, kind of like what Jabril Cox did a few years ago, leaving North Dakota State to go to LSU and then getting drafted, I think, in like the third or fourth round. Tucker-Dorsey's trying to follow that same route. So I don't blame him. McCormick, I haven't seen any interest or what he's been retweeting. Kobe White, just a kind, I don't want to rag on him, but just kind of a joke that you transfer in the spring and you leave before the fall even gets here. It's whatever, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what his situation is, but it sounds like he probably, it is very weird to be like
I'm coming and then just never mind. What?
Just wanted some warmer weather for the spring, maybe.
Which you didn't even pick that warm of a weather like location. You went from Boston to Harrisonburg in the mountains. You could have gone down to like South Florida.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I guess he probably thought he had a chance to work his way into the lineup and then was like, oh, wait, the receiver room is maybe better than he thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to talk about the Tucker Dorsey thing. I am obviously horrible at understanding like how good players are. Like you got people from The Athletic being top available transfer in the portal. I'm like, what are you talking? Like what?
Like yeah, I must be.
He's a good player, but I did not.
He's great. He's a great FCS player.
I did not expect like Texas and Texas A&M. And I still don't fully understand what that means. Like they're offering him, he's going on an official visit. Does that mean that Texas is like being genuine and he's going to start at linebacker for Texas? Or does that mean they're like, this guy's going to be sweet and on special teams and we'll tell him he can compete and he adds depth? Don't know.
So Tucker Dorsey is a 5'10", 214-pound linebacker. He started all 14 games last year, was second-team All-American from Hero, was third-team All-American from Stats, was fourth-team All-American from Phil Steele, and he was first-team All-CAA. Was only player of the week once. He did rack up 100. What I'm trying to get at is, like, he didn't bring in hella accolades. I don't mean to like rat, like man, it sounds like I'm really just hating on the transfer portal here. Tucker Dorsey, go out, like better yourself, go where you need to. I was just shocked, one, seeing it so late, and two, being like, him? He's really good, but Texas?
He's very, very good. And I didn't expect him to get those level of offers. Like UCF made sense a little bit to me.
I get that one.
Some of the Power Five, like Texas A&M is like brands themselves as like, we want to win a national title. And I didn't expect that. So I was surprised by that. The timing was weird. I know he said he kind of thought about it for a while. And the fact that JMU couldn't win anything this year in terms of a Sun Belt title or a bowl game, that stuff he said was something that considered. I mean, if he's that good, maybe I was kind of wrong about, I guess, how talented he really is. And he has a chance to go play in the NFL. Like same with Antoine Wells. Like I get it, man. I'm just surprised. Like I guess I'm bad at evaluating or understanding a level of talent. Maybe I'm low on JMU and where it stands in the totem pole.
Maybe.
But it's like, wow. Like I didn't expect that. I was surprised by that.
Yeah. And if you just Google Tucker Dorsey's name, Texas fans, the Texas fan blogs really want him. He's also been offered by Florida State, or at least visiting Florida State, Ole Miss. So like a lot of SEC schools are interested in him, but Texas, it seems like their fans really want him. I don't know what their coaching staff is. And I'm not sure if they still have that former JMU player on their coaching staff.
I think Maringer's at Oregon, or he was a former JMU coach, but I think he moved to Oregon. I
thought he was a quarterback.
I mean, maybe there's someone else. They had that other guy. I don't know if he was at Texas, but I know there's some guy. And I think I'm thinking of someone else.
But, okay. Anything else on the transfers? Any other overarching football you want to touch on before
I'm interested to see. I think we've said this before, but like what happens with like NIL related stuff? Because he entered the transfer portal and like a day later was like looking for an NIL agent. And Antoine Wells did something similar where like 3 days before he was in the portal, he was like, NIL deals, hit me up. So I'm interested to see what JMU does in that regard, because it seems like they've done nothing. Maybe I'm wrong. I would love to hear more about like what JMU has done in terms of educating the athletes, and then like what they've kind of, I don't know, like have they done anything to try to help people get those opportunities? Because it seems like that's something that's important. I know some of the players got ticked on Twitter a few weeks ago that JMU wouldn't let him like use their tapes. Like that kind of stuff. Like, what are you doing to help promote their brands? Oh, I'd be interested in learning that is, I guess, kind of the take I have.
Yeah. Coming from the tapes perspective, I know when I was in the office a few years ago, that's what, 4 years ago now,
Yeah.
It was an NCAA rule that you couldn't like give them a lot of their own pictures. You couldn't like create, like you couldn't give them a lot of the creative you made, or tape or stuff like that, just because like, I don't know what the reasoning behind it was, but I remember that being a rule. Very easily could have overchanged, because in 4 years we've gone from not paying athletes to having NIL, and it's a complete Wild West. But
I think that's what's kind of interesting, because UVA had like a platform where they were like, hey, everyone log into this thing and you can use all of our photos and like put it on your social media and stuff. So like, that's the kind of stuff, like what does JMU have? And they might have things and I just don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting when you have like a couple of key guys leave who are all like, NIL, hit me up, which I don't know how that works for them. Like I don't, Antoine Wells is not like well-known now that he's in South Carolina, and Tucker Dorsey's not going to be like some star, but could they also be paying him $100,000 in an NIL deal to have him play linebacker there? Yeah.
It's like, that's, this podcast isn't being videotaped. This is a really important part of that. What you were saying, Bennett put air quotes.
I did
around
an NIL air quotes deal. Around NIL, but I don't know that that's necessarily happening, but it's also like for him to enter that late and then all have these big offers. I imagine he will be making money next year that he wasn't at JMU.
Yes. I also think that tapes is really difficult too, because like, are you putting together a highlight tape to hype yourself up, or are you putting up a highlight tape to send to
transfer? Yeah. Like, is this like,
if I'm JMU, yeah. If I'm JMU, I'm not giving you tapes, because if that's your goal, like if your goal is to transfer, like I think Tucker Dorsey was one of the ones upset about it. Like,
yeah,
I'm not giving you tapes.
It's pretty interesting. So we'll see what happens. I also think now that they're in the Sun Belt, more guys are going to have a chance to legitimately get drafted from JMU, which will probably help. And it'll get to the point where there's a guy who's like, you know what? I don't need to leave for my fifth year. I can stay here and be an NFL draft pick. So I think that like moving up aspect helps. And again, you can't actually discount who they've added through the portal. Like, I think the net gains compared to the net losses, even with some of these moves, are probably still a pretty substantial positive.
Maybe this is me being cynical. I don't know if at this point they're leaving to boost their draft stock. I think Wells may have, and I think Tucker Dorsey a little bit. But also, is it the NIL deal money that's coming, the quote-unquote NIL deal money that's coming in and, like, enticing them away with it also being a potential – like. If NIL wasn't a thing right now, and just, it was just transfer portal, like you could transfer whatever, but NIL wasn't a thing, I don't know if Tucker Dorsey's leaving.
I think that's a good point. Yeah. I think that's fair. You can get the money now, basically, kind of attitude where you can get paid now and maybe boost your draft stock, but at the very least you're getting something. So I'm not totally against the logic there. I think the timing is weird. And I do think there needs to be more regulation in terms of when players can do this, how it makes sense. And from a grand like football perspective, it kind of sucks as a fan where it's like, oh yeah, like this is a guy that's been around the team for a while, is a leader, is really good, went through spring ball and was like one of the main guys who was interviewed in all these stories. And then like 2 weeks later, Texas gives him a paycheck and it's like, shit.
I think that's a great point, is that I was a huge proponent. Like I still love the transfer portal. I love giving the power to the student athletes. What does suck is that they can do it at any point they want, and you hit the nail on the head. There needs to be like, I think it boils down to, you just have to pay the athletes and treat them as employees of the university, where you need to give them essentially like a 2-year contract or open up a quote unquote free agent period. Because the fact he went through spring ball and we are now 2 months out from the start of the season, May, June, July, 3 months out from the season, and he's transferring, I just don't like that timing.
Yeah, me neither. You don't blame him that much, but at the same time, it sucks. Like if you're a fan or whatever. And I also don't know that it's actually the best for some of the athletes. Like I think they should have like choices, but at the same time, I don't know if Texas A&M and Texas are being that genuine. They might be saying things like, yeah, we're going to give you a chance to compete, when in reality, they want him as a backup linebacker who adds depth and plays on special teams, when he might think he's going to be a star making big NIL deals. Maybe he will be. I just think there's probably some conversations there that are not ideal. I also don't know that he goes into the portal blind. I imagine there is potentially some contact beforehand.
It's also the other part of the transfer portal that I don't like. It's the dark side of it is all the players who enter it and
yes,
don't get a home. And then they're just shit out of luck.
Yeah. It's just kind of a crappy process right now that could use a little regulation and guidance. I think that would help everyone. If only
the NCAA was able to, you know, enforce things.
I also don't think they would, the players know that much, and maybe they, I don't know that they're like supposed to, but when they're asking, like when Antoine Wells, for example, is like, me up for NIL deals, I don't know that he knows how to like negotiate an NIL deal. I would not have when I was like 19.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing that I'm interested in. Like, what is JMU doing to educate them about like how to handle all of that, if anything? Because it feels at times like like they're just like playing football and rolling it out, and then they're just like, it'll work out for us, it'll be fine. But I don't know what the actual like NIL plan is. Is it anywhere close to what these Power Fives do, which is like really intense education? And yeah.
Yep. If you're a college athlete and you have the option of getting NIL deals, this is my piece of advice, because I know a lot of college athletes listen to this podcast. Sign an agent, get someone to like do it for you. Don't worry about it. Like, you don't do it. Get someone to do it for you.
That's another one where it's like, who are you getting as the agent? And then Matt Brown, who we had on from, I always cite like his reporting for extra points. But I think if you're like the agent, you can get like, you negotiate higher percentages of commission on NIL deals or something, where you can make like way more. So like, I think some of the agents are probably like,
Yeah, I read that too. I don't know if it was from him or if it was like ESPN Daily did something, but like, normal agents for NFL players like take 5% of a deal or whatever, and then for NIL they're taking like 25%.
Yeah,
just taking advantage of the student athlete completely.
So some of it's crazy. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. The other point you made that I think is worth reiterating is like, it sucks that they lost Tucker Dorsey, fan favorite, good player. I want to miss watching him play. I'm pretty sure when he committed, I watched his huddle tape, and his first huddle highlight was a targeting hit. But he put it in because it was sick. Like, I think he got flagged for targeting, but he just took somebody's head off. So like, I will miss that attitude in that play. But like you're saying, does this take them from maybe a 6-5 team to a 5-6? Like, I don't really care. Like, I don't think it's not like they're bound to contend for a national title and they had this perfect team and they've lost four starters late to Texas. It's like, they're probably going to be a middle of the pack Sun Belt team that's going to take their lumps and whatever, they put in a younger guy and then get prepared when they're actually able to play in bowl games. Sounds kind of fine to me.
Yeah, I did see a lot of chat on Twitter where JMU fans are like, it doesn't matter, the linebacker group's deep, they're good. I don't know about all of that. I think we might see a safety get converted to linebacker. And so, like Seth Naudala, I think he's pretty solid. He's been in and out of the lineup the last couple of years. There was a lot of hype around him. There's some good guys on this squad, but like, losing a four-year starter who had triple digits tackles last year and you're replacing him with a sophomore who's started maybe a handful of games, it's going to be a loss. Will it reflect in the win-loss column? Probably not, and it doesn't matter. And JMU fans, we all need to wrap our head around that this season. Buckle up, have fun. We're in the Sun Belt. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, drop 17 spots in SP plus from Bill Connolly's ranking today, Jack. Rough. That was disheartening. Jalen Walker, though, looks like he's a youngster they have a lot of faith in.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Kurt Cignetti's tweets quickly. He literally tweeted a grainy photo of Jalen Walker and was like, opportunity brings greatness. And then he's talking about like, he's tweeting the Sun Belt logo on the field and how they can expand the stadium to 50,000. The man's interesting on Twitter, I will say that.
The man knows how to use twitter.com.
Yeah, he's not like your state. He's not a Mike Houston tweeter, which is just like, you know, sure, grind, power to you, where he's just tweeting like hashtags, whatever ECU's hashtags are, with like a photo of a ship. He gets some interesting tweets in there, so I'll give him that.
Yeah, you know, he's sitting in his lazy boy, I'm not going anywhere. He reminds me what Tom Brady will be like tweeting in 20 years.
Yeah, I also love his angle that's like a taking it from like that fence near D Hall.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's obvious from this photo, it needs to expand. It's like, I mean, you can't see a lot from the photo.
How easily expansion to 50,000 seating would be. No, it wouldn't. You're missing Godwin.
Yeah.
The entire building. that is right next door. That is the reason you can't. Well, the other reason they can't expand is they do one sellout a year and it's homecoming.
Yeah. It's like, please do not expand right now. But no, that was,
please
that was
don't funny. Expand for a while. I want like 5 years of consistent sellouts personally. That's just me. Ducks from
he cracks me up though. So yeah, I'm looking forward to football season. I'll say that.
All right. Do you want to move into some fan questions? I think that'll bring us into some what's it called? Baseball chat as well.
Yeah.
All right. We'll start off Peter Mooney's question, which my favorite question. What is the top thing we're going to miss the least about Flow Sports?
It's a good question.
I don't fully understand. What are we going to miss the least?
I think it was like to talk about. I think it was to talk about just how Flow Sports sucked was basically the proper. But the Flow Sports era is over, which is good.
Yeah.
I will miss the one softball home run video they had. I think at Drexel.
Yeah.
Where it's just like literally the ground and they're like, that ball is gone.
I think I'm worried because my Flow Sports experience, the worst part was paying for the subscription.
Yeah.
Like it was so expensive. Like ESPN Plus is still home broadcast. Like it can still be terrible. They just standards.
It's not always perfect, but it does have higher standards. And if you're paying for it, like I pay for it, yeah, I got to watch Tiger Woods in the morning. Like Flow Sports is like, hey, you want to watch 2 14-year-olds play wiffle ball in their driveway? And I'm like, no, not really. And they're like, well, that's $35 a month. ESPN Plus is what, like 5 or 6? And you can watch Tiger Woods play on his one leg in the PGA Championship with Rory and Jordan Spieth. Like, those are the kind of things. You got MLB games. We talked about this, but I think it's nice that the whole platform's better. But, yeah, I don't think people should expect, like, remarkable broadcasts. You watch a mid-major basketball game, you bet on those, and you turn on, like, a New Hampshire UMass Lowell ESPN Plus broadcast. Broadcast is kind of trash.
It's like a one-camera setup from the third row of their bleachers.
Right, but it gets the job done, and for the bigger games, like I imagine the Sunbelt teams take those football broadcasts reasonably seriously. So
yeah, Garrett Lamb, any idea on a timetable for when the news on Eikenberry will come out as to whether we are extending his contract or looking to hire a new coach?
I think TJ Eck was saying that they hadn't made a decision or something, and he was thinking like next week. At some point in the next couple of weeks, I think they'll do something. I would be floored, Jack, if Marlon Eikenberry comes back next year as the head coach.
If he comes back, I think it would be an emergency podcast of us just crying.
I don't know if it's that bad,
but yeah, I think it comes out within the next 7 days. I imagine
we podcasted a couple weeks ago and it was before the Hofstra series. And they had 7 games left. And we said, all right, they need 4 of those to get to 30 wins. Do we think they get to 30 wins? They went 1-6. So 27-26. They lost 6 of their last 7. And I don't want to hear the like, oh my God, the injury bug. It's like, no, they've been average for like 6 years. It's baseball. Like if you're having injury issues year after year, like figure out a way
to avoid
those with like the practice schedule. You should be having that many because it's not that like taxing a sport. I mean, your arm, like if you're a pitcher, but like there are ways to manage that you should be able to do. There should be depth in the pitching staff. There should be players who can come in. They had Chase DeLauder at times this year. I don't care if he wasn't there the whole year. Like they did not get the most out of this team. They haven't gotten the most out of the team since he's been there. And then you're going into a harder league and you want to renew him. No.
You know what's hilarious? They always regress to the mean.
Always.
Like they were sitting there with a prime opportunity to be like 5 games above 500 for the first time under Eikenberry. And instead they go 1-6 over their last 7 and they regress right back to the mean. 27-26. They quite literally could not be 500 because they played an odd number of games, yet they finished damn near 500.
And then there's just so many games where it's like, oh my God, they had such a tough break. You can't even believe this break they had, Jack. It was such a tough break where they lose these 2 games to Hofstra in heartbreaking fashion. And then it's like, we just ignore the fact that the third game of the series, they lose 15-6 and Maryland beats them 12-2. Like, you can't just ignore it. Like, oh my God, can you believe that this would have went that way? It's like, yeah, it's college sports. Like, you're going to have close losses. You have to take care of business in the other games. Like, you can't have Presbyterian beat up on you. You can't, who else did they lose?
Quinnipiac
knocked him. You can't lose, get smacked in the doubleheader against Morehead State. Like, I don't want to hear all the excuses of like, oh my God, the injuries, and they had a, if they didn't give up that 3-run bomb, they would have won. It's like, what? It's just a stupid conversation. I'm sick of the,
it's the what ifs. I think we had a whole podcast on the what ifs in sports and how much we both hate when fans look back at a season. They go, what if this entire thing was different? Yeah, it would be different. No, yeah, of course. What if they didn't give up that 3-run bomb? Well, then they would have not lost by 3. They would have maybe won. Like, what if they didn't have, what if Chase Stillauder didn't break his foot? Well, then they probably would have been 28-26. Like,
what if Marlon Eikenberry didn't decide to have 2 starters per game in February? Like, what was that strategy? That didn't make any sense to me. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just annoying. And like, I think not necessarily the fans, but I guess some of the media coverage upsets me, because it's like, tough breaks. It's like, we can be honest about what happened. It's like, they're not that good. And the question, I think it's at the end of the year, I think it got a little more realistic, some of the coverage, where it's like, probably a fair question if Eikenberry's coming back. But that's kind of what the fans want to know, right? What's the direction of the program? Nobody cares when you're outside the bubble picture that you lose a May heartbreaker on the road at Hofstra. I don't care. I want to know if it's a team that'll ever play in a regional in my lifetime, which they have, but like in my fandom lifetime. Like, they haven't played in one since 2011. Like, are they going to get in one by 2031? That would be interesting to me.
I think they can get in one within the next few years.
Yeah, if they play better baseball in the Sun Belt, for sure. So, like,
No, but I think they can get into a regional. Hosting a regional might not be until the 2030s, but like, you have such a hotbed of talent in the Valley. You have the opportunity to be one of the best teams in Virginia. Like, and that's not an overstatement.
I was just getting sick this weekend of looking on Twitter and seeing UVA won a men's tennis national title, and their lacrosse team was in the men's quarterfinals, and Virginia Tech softball went on a run, and they're in the super regionals now after rallying back in a regional. And Virginia Tech and UVA baseball are both in like the top 10 national championship future odds, and JMU season is over. I'm like, I know that they're not going to compete consistently at like a Power 5 level, but give me some teams throughout the year that are going to be sweet, and like, maximizing JMU's potential in the baseball program is one that is infuriatingly far behind their potential.
It's really funny how spoiled we are as JMU fans, because just last year they went on a Women's College World Series run and everything was looking fine. And then they announced they're going to Sun Belt. We get really hype. And then things fall apart because the CAA says you don't have any postseason to play for. And now we're sitting here and we're like, what? Why? Why? Bennett's over here. Why aren't we good anymore? And it's been maybe 6 months since we've been good. And he just really wants to be great all the time. Next year, buddy. We'll get it next year.
That's a fair point. They are.
Except for football. Football will be a wash, but every other sport. We'll be playing in March in basketball. Baseball, if we get a new coach, has the potential to be good. Softball needs a pitcher or two and maybe some hitters. Softball might need a little bit of work. The Diamond Dukes need a little bit of work. But we'll be playing into March. Basketball will be hunky-dory. And there'll be hope on the horizon from Veterans Memorial Park.
It really emphasizes or underscores my excitement about next year. Just the ability to be allowed to play in the conference tournament. Just such a dumb decision from the CAA that really sucked as a fan too. Obviously not as hard as what the players and coaches went through, but very frustrating.
I'd argue it was worse.
The podcasters, we've talked about this. The podcasters have such a hard life that nobody wants to talk about it. It's getting frustrating. But I think I'm frustrated with how the year ended, because I wish there was a little more postseason play, and we're accustomed to it. You're right. We're a little spoiled. We're spoiled by the consistent softball regionals, and maybe that's what it is.
I think that's what it is 100%. And also Tech and UVA softball have been staring at us like being a consistent fixture in the postseason. And they're like, maybe we should, you know, recruit better. And then they finally did. And they have arguably the best pitcher in the nation over in Blacksburg. And like now they're being good. So work's cut out for JMU for sure. You want to move to the last question we have?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounded really, really riveting, really rousing, really excited for this.
I couldn't remember what it was. Yes.
Feedback. This is from Bill Papp. He says we have great humor. So
yeah, you should definitely say that. Yeah.
What to do when this is not sports. This is what to do. Question, though. It's actually a fantastic question. Feedback on what to do when going to games by age bracket. 40 plus should do what? Recent grad should do what? And I'm going to say 26 to 40 or I guess 30 to 40. So sure. we'll go 21 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 plus based off of his breakdown. He also has the most World Series rings for any JMU alum. So shout out him. Yeah. Can't wait to be interviewed, Bill. Soon. Maybe when baseball's good. Maybe when they fire Ike, they hire you.
I think that sounds fair.
I think Bill would be a better coach than Eikenberry.
Oh, my God. All right.
He has three World Series rings. How many does Eikenberry have? None.
What's your question to what's your answer to this? What are the things that the alums should do?
I think 40 plus. There's a lot of great wineries around. You have Cross Keys. You have Bluestone. You have Purple Wolf. Gray Wolf. The Lavender Farm that also makes wine.
Yeah.
They have good wine. Really, the whole, if you make a weekend out of it, the whole like Blue Ridge area.
I was going to say that.
Don't get me into wines too much, but the Blue Ridge region in Virginia have the best wines of all of Virginia wine. So there's a lot of good wineries. What would you say for 40 up?
I think the question is a tough one. It's like if you're spending a whole weekend there, you could almost like even venture into like Charlottesville and Crozet and like some of those areas too, right? If you're looking for beer or wine or whatever, if you're around there, I mean, I'm a sucker for Pale Fire, which honestly might make more sense for the 40 to 50 crew because that's such a slow vibe. Like that's not like if you're a recent alum, that's probably not like you're, let's go just win a big game.
Like that's Pale Fire, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's a classic. They got good breweries and there's a lot of like activities in the area. You could even stay at like Massanutten and go to a game or something and do something there if you wanted. The golf is like sneaky good in Harrisonburg. They've got a couple of courses that are cheap and like play good ones. So like there's a lot of things to do for any age, but I would say it's making me want to spend more time in Harrisonburg. I'll say that.
Yeah. Wineries, breweries, really good for the older crowd. I want to say I skew more towards the older crowd too. Mm-hmm. As a 25-year-old, like breweries and wineries sound, and golf, even though I'm terrible at golf, that does sound just a lot more appealing than like, well, granted, if you're a recent grad, you're probably doing the same stuff because yeah, that's college, true. JMU's not a bar college. JMU's right. A house party. So like, there's not bars to go to. Artful Dodger closed.
Yeah,
I think it's called Duke's now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no idea. Billy Jack's is always a
that's the classic.
That's a recent like. Grad place. Yeah. You go there, you're craving sticky nugs. You go there at 11 p.m. and you close down the joint. I sounded so old by saying that. Jack Brown's too is really good. But there's not a lot of like recent grad only places. I'd say Harrisonburg, if you're going out in Harrisonburg, it's a lot of like you're mingling with a lot of generations. Tailgating, get there early, tailgate, good. Get your libations.
But it's a good spot to go watch a game and hang out and drink some beer or wine or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever.
Or whatever. Whatever you like.
I don't think there's any distilleries though or anything like that in there.
I think that's pretty limited. I think that, or maybe you gotta drive into other areas around there. But yeah.
Bold Rock, and they have a distillery over there.
Do they?
Like a vodka distillery over in that area where there's like Blue Mountain and Bold Rock and Devil's Backbone. I think there's a distillery over there. I think.
There's some good spots over there for sure. The other thing, we have 3 minutes left on our Zoom. Jeff Bourne released a thing sharing some insights on like how they help mental health of athletes. Pretty good read with some specific details in there. So I know we had asked or talked about them wanting to see like what they would do. It's kind of cool to see him come out and actually address Lauren Burnett's death and share some information on what they do mental health wise. So I thought that was worthy of posting. Interested to see, because that's an important thing, as is NIL, just sort of how JMU adapts in this modern era of college sports.
Yeah, that's really great to see. Anything else?
No, I guess we'll see when we go back on this boy, but we'll keep an eye out. We'll probably end up doing a baseball coaching search podcast, not to put the cart in front of the horse, but
we'll need to find a college baseball writer to talk to us about potential coaching hires, because I can't tell you a name of a baseball coach other than Marlon Eikenberry. Oh, and Robert Woodard, who coaches Charlotte.
Brian O'Connor, UVA head coach, been there a while. I know him. I got his cell phone number.
Oh,
maybe I'll put in a good word.
Text him. Hey, bro, here's the bird.
You want a lower salary and a program that's not as far developed? Because boy, do I have a job for you.
Do I have an offer that you just can't pass up? Also, my favorite thing before we get up on out of here is this account called Teacher Bracket.
That's the UNCW rival we have.
Yeah, it is. Consistently trying to like get us upset. UNCW won the CAA championship at JMU for like the last lots of years.
They just had like a lot of success in those Harrisonburg ones because they have the JMU had the best facility to play it at, right?
Yeah, and so a lifelong Seahawks softball enthusiast tweeted that they've won 75% of the CAA championships in Harrisonburg, of which probably 75% JMU didn't play in. And even if they did, UNCW didn't beat JMU because JMU lost in the first round. But it's just funny that.
It was also funny. It was just like a huge jab at us. Like, hey, loser, like you're leaving the CAA and you didn't even have a lot of baseball success. It's like, you truly don't understand how little most of us care. Like, okay, but now we're going to a good baseball league. They're going to try to get better. And we have a football program that exists and has players and is real.
And wins.
Yeah, and our basketball program isn't, you know, named after an offshoot of another school.
And our basketball program wasn't destroyed when Kevin Keats left it to fail at NC State. For Bennett Conlin, my name's Jack Fitzpatrick. You guys have a wonderful rest of your day. See ya.
That was elite.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.